Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
And good morning. Thank you so much for joining us for Freedom's Call today. This is Pat Githens. I invite you to turn to your Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 5. And we're going to look at that one verse this morning concerning the church at Ephesus. And while you're turning your Bibles to that particular verse of Scripture, I want to tell you a little bit about this morning's message. This past week, I was at a pastor's luncheon, and we had some folks from Dallas come in that are specialists in working with churches that have peaked. There are some that are growing and need more space. Others have peaked and had more space than they know what to do with. And it was a very interesting luncheon, much better than what I'd expected. But one of the things that they brought up was the life cycle of a church. And they used a bell curve to illustrate that. And I found that extremely interesting, and I found it extremely truthful concerning a lot of churches today, that you start here as a new church and you grow and you expand and develop, and you start building buildings to house the incoming crowd. And then at the top of the curve, you reach a plateau, you kind of peak out, and then you start downward on the other side of the curve, losing members, some of the younger ones going elsewhere, and one thing and another, people dying off. And eventually you come down to the place that you've got more building that you know what to do with. You can't afford the insurance and the utilities and the upkeep on the building you have. And so eventually that church goes out of business. It closes its doors. And we have the death of a local church. Well, we see this happening more and more in our society today, and certainly it's happening in a lot of our small towns, and it's even happening a lot in our larger cities, where people move out of one section of the city over to another section, and a lot of times the people in the local church feel like they can't afford to move, and so they hang on until they die off. And it's sad, but it's true. And so I want to read this one verse of Scripture for you this morning. He says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." Now, Jesus is talking here to the church at Ephesus, and this church had had a remarkable history, and at this time was beginning to slide down on the other side of that curve, as we talked about earlier. It had been a very evangelistic church. It had been well taught. It was a very doctrinal church. It's solid in its doctrine, very enthusiastic in its outreach ministry, establishing many of the churches in Asia Minor in that day. They had great teaching. They had not only the Apostle Paul and Timothy, but the Apostle John and others as well. And yet here we find, and I was looking through these seven churches before doing this broadcast, and you know what? I find that this is the only one that Jesus really threatened to come and take away the candlestick. That is, close the church, let it die. And but the candlestick or the lampstand being, of course, representative of the of that local church. The others had problems, many of them. And he said, "I will come and bring judgment against you." But this one, he says, "I will just take your candlestick out of existence. Your church will no longer exist." And that's a startling thing when you look at the past history of what this church had done, and then look at where it was at this time. It was not quite as enthusiastic about the work of the Lord as it had been with the previous generations. And so here was the beginning of a dying church. And it was just going to drift down, down, down. And if they didn't repent of that and turn it around, then the Lord would said, I'll just allow you to go out of business. Well, how many churches today are in that condition? How many churches today is the Lord allowing them to just go out of business? Because simply they're not doing what churches ought to be doing. And they're not, their outreach ministry is almost nil. They're not evangelistic. Many of them have departed from sound doctrine, and they're experimenting with every strange thing that floats around, trying to see if that will attract more members. And so they're just going out of business. And eventually, many of them are already finding themselves to the place where they've got more building than they can afford. Their crowds are no longer there. Their glory days are past. And they're having troubles now paying the insurance on the building. They're having trouble paying the upkeep on the building. They're having trouble paying the utilities on the building. And most of their budget is going for salaries and building cost. And there's little money left over for outreach ministry or any of those other important things that churches ought to be engaged in. And so without a strong evangelistic outreach ministry, they're not bringing people in. And what they have dying off and getting to the point that physically they're unable to go out personally. Young ones have moved out. There's no young ones coming up. There's nothing in the church to attract these young adults. And so these churches are down close to the point to where their candlestick is about to be removed. They're going to be out of business. And I know church after church today, if something doesn't happen and turn them around, within the next 10 years, they're not going to be there. They'll build and go to somebody else that can afford it, and they just won't be there. That church will no longer be in existence. And what a sad thing it is that churches that have been in existence 50, 60, 70, even to 100 years, suddenly lose their identity. They're no longer there. They've gone out of business. You say, well, there's reasons for that. A lot of times, in the larger cities, the city has moved away from them. And this is happening in Lubbock, by the way. You've got churches that have sold the buildings where they were and moved and built new buildings in a growing area of town, a newer area of town. And so that they can survive and continue to grow. Others have said, well, we can't afford to do that, and therefore we're just going to be here and stick it out. And they find themselves losing ground, and pretty soon it's just me and my four no more, and everybody's happy with that until such time as some of the my four begin to die off. And then the two that's left cannot afford to keep things going. So the church closes its doors. The church that I pastor in Lubbock is in a minority section of town. In fact, we have mostly a white congregation. We do have some Hispanics. We do have some black families. But mostly our church is an older white membership. People are getting up in years, and it's not a young church by any means. And the white folks in our section of town are in the minority. We are very much in a minority. I went out when I first took the church, and a deacon and I were out door knocking, and we knocked on every door on four streets, both sides of the streets. And I yet was to find a house where a white person came to the door on those four streets. Well, we do have a few whites sprinkled through the neighborhood, but they're in the minority. And so this church cannot afford to sit there and be an older white church and expect to live and exist, because they're not going to survive if they keep that attitude. So they have to open themselves to change. I had a black preacher's wife ask me yesterday at this meeting. We were talking, and matter of fact, her husband had pastored this church that I am pastoring now for a while. And we were talking about it. And I said, well, one thing or another, we've got to be able to change our music up a little bit. And she said, what kind of music do you want? And I said, well, I want some traditional music. I want some contemporary music. Not real heavy contemporary, but good listenable contemporary music. And eventually, as more and more black people come into the church, we're going to insert some black gospel music and have a blend of this music because we're going to have a blended congregation. And you can't just stick with Southern gospel over here. You can't just stick with contemporary. It's going to take a mixture, and it's going to have a music minister that can mix this music and be able to present it to a mixed congregation. And they said, well, we're having the same problem in their church that he's pastoring now. They said the old ones want their music, the young ones want their music. And I said, this has been a generational war that has caused more problems in churches than you can shake a stick at. And it's going to continue for a few more years. So the truth of the matter is, now we are seeing some black families come into the church. Matter of fact, had a 39-year-old black woman I baptized the other day. She's got a 13-year-old daughter. We have a young man and his girlfriend coming now, and certainly we'll be able to put him to work trying to build up other young adults and youth. He's very popular with youth. And so we're seeing some headway after a few months of being able to open our doors to all of these people. Now, it's not a flood of mixed people yet coming in, but it's got to happen, or the church I'm pastoring now is not going to survive much longer than 10 more, 12 more years. It would go out of business. Now, we are going to have to realize the type of neighborhood that we live in. We're going to have to understand the people that we're trying to reach, and we're going to have to adapt to that. And certainly the answer for us is not to sell the property and move to a better area of town. They simply can't afford it. These are not high income, for the most part, people that we have in this church I pastor. So the challenge is great, and I'm looking forward to it. And I just remind myself every day of the world, all things are possible with God. Now, the average person looks at our church and they say, man, you've got an impossible task over there. That church has had its glory days, and it's on the way down. It's in a state of decline, and it's certainly not going to be able to survive for too many more years. Well, all things are possible with God. God didn't call me over there to waste my time or his. And so I do believe that the Lord is going to use this church in the situation that we're in, and we're going to see a completely different type of congregation in the coming months that will be active in outreaching the ministry of that church into the community and where we're at. God's at work over there. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But you've got to have a vision. So you can either sit there and die and go out of business, or you can start seeing what your problem is and making plans and start turning it around and having a different outreach than perhaps you've ever had in times past. Think about it. That's all the time I have this morning. I do thank you for joining us, and I hope to be able to see you again at the same time next week on this station. This is Pat Githens saying to you and yours, have a great day.
Thank God I am free.